Hacks.
Ring a ding ding, you got the kings. Welcome to another episode of the Phone Hacks Podcast with me, Mike Goldstein, and the sloth to my goonies, Nick Capper.
Yes.
How are you, Nick?
I can see you with my big one eye. Do you have a big one eye?
He had something going on. It was like one eye was on the kind of hanging off the side of his head.
Yeah.
But he had two eyes, but he was a mutant sure.
I think I read that actor died. Like he was a big, huge, you know, big, huge people die.
Right.
Rather quick.
It's got sad real quick.
What did he come down with? Big hugeness?
You know, because your organs aren't big enough. I don't know.
Yeah, may probably die. I don't know if there must have been a lot of prosthetic going on there.
Yeah.
So who knows? I think he was a wrestler or some shit, but it's not a favorable comparison.
Happened to the same guy who played Harry in Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, the Sasquatch.
Full tall guy, and he was the Predator also.
And Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca.
Yeah. And the tallest man. I'm just going to chime in then.
Sorry. We should introduce another big, huge man.
Speaking of big organs.
Our guest today, Limo.
Robert Wadlow. Pleasure to be here, by the way. Robert Wadlow, tallest man ever.
Yeah.
8'11" and 1/10 of an inch.
Oh, shit.
Died at the age of 22.
This was the Guinness Book of World Records guy.
Yeah.
This is like a black and white photo I remember from. Yeah. So he. Like what? You're just so tall, your organs are fucked.
What happened to him is he did his ankle and he was wearing a metal ankle brace. This is back in the 1930s.
Oh.
And it scraped on his ankle and then it got infected and he died as a result of the infection. Maybe complicated because of his height. Penicillin was used for the first time about 6 months after he died. So that would have saved him.
Yeah.
The penicillin. But
so
no.
I was close with the organs thing.
Yeah. Totally. But hey, an amazing 22 years of age. He had an incredible life there. But when he was born, at birth, he was 3'6".
What the hell?
Wow.
So
nah,
everything
that's
was.
That's not true.
That poor mom. He just slithered out because he was skinny as shit, though, wasn't he? Yeah. So everything was long about him except his life. That was the great irony.
The great irony. 8'11" and 1/10 of an inch because, of course, when you get to 9 foot, you get a letter from the Queen.
Okay.
So
oh,
really? Just missed out on that.
I'm believing all this.
Capper does. Capper, one of his cornerstone stand up bits is long wife, long life.
Yeah. So.
It is. So he's been fantasizing about a long, noodly woman for years.
A long conversation.
Yeah.
It hasn't gone for that long.
Well, there's an American woman who I think is might be the tallest woman in the world today. And she's, I think, 7'6" or 7'8".
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but
how do you know all this stuff?
Well, because I had a brief obsession with tall people. It's an oversupply of the growth hormone, right? So Robert Wadlow was still growing when he died, but now they treat the oversupply of the growth hormone, so no one will ever be that tall again. Because once you get into the 7 foot, it's a tough life.
Oh yeah, it is.
And dwarfism is an undersupply of the growth hormone. And they haven't yet worked out how to treat that.
Oh
man!
So,
but dwarfs don't keep shrinking.
Well, no, but they don't care.
That's a big difference. Well, it's a small difference.
No, they don't care. Quick,
he's running out quick. Getting smaller and smaller.
There's a Benjamin Button type movie. No one's pitched yet.
Did he die? No, he just disappeared.
I'd watch that movie. That'd be great. So 7'6", tallest woman currently living in America.
She's in the States, and I just can't remember her name at the moment, but she's in a wheelchair now.
So she's quite short, actually.
She's actually only about 5 foot, as it turns out. The tallest guy in Melbourne is 7'4". And he's a young guy. He's about 23.
Right.
And he works in a car yard.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Selling secondhand cars, yeah.
Man, so they don't need the guy, you know, the
wind that blows in, the big wobbly thing.
They just put him out front.
They just get him to dance in a yellow suit.
Yeah, wear a baggy yellow suit. Goes, it's windy out, go out front. He's like, fuck, windy days are the worst for me.
There's no customers on the lot. Get out there, you prick.
Get out there with your top hat and get him in here.
Well, have the curse of being tall is everyone would just be like, why don't you play basketball, right?
Well, you would have. So let's go through them.
Yeah.
So what's the weather like up there?
Yeah.
Do you play basketball?
Of course.
Where'd you get your bed from?
Yeah. Show us your dick.
Are you in proportion? Constant question.
Because lately, you know, due to the Michael Jordan Last Dance thing, I've been obsessed with basketball. I've never been obsessed with basketball in my life, but this documentary. And I thought about that Chinese basketballer who was really tall.
Yeah.
So he was like 7'4", I think.
Yeah, because I was thinking you got Michael Jordan, who apparently wasn't that tall.
6'6".
Yeah, compared to the other basketballers.
Right.
But he could kind of nimble around a bit. He's kind of tall enough in a way.
Yes.
Or you got Reggie Miller, who's kind of strong and long and stringy.
Yeah.
Whereas Pippen's the perfect build.
Yeah.
Whereas I thought that Yao guy gets snapped in half. You know what I mean? Like he must have been good. He must have had good skill besides.
Well, you just put him at center, right? And then they just do tip off and then they're just like kind of there to pass the ball around.
And he's like a god in China, that guy.
Oh, right.
So, he really stands out.
Because I thought that guy might be too tall.
Yeah,
there we go.
But it went over Capper's head. Too short.
He stands out wherever he goes. Yeah. But NBA took off like crazy. When he started, NBA in China took off like crazy.
Right.
When he started playing, the highest rating women's final of the Australian Open ever was when, I can't remember the Chinese tennis player now, when she played in the final.
Naomi Osaka?
No, she's Japanese. Racist.
Anyway,
that's the end of the podcast.
All I know is I don't watch female sports.
All right, you've redeemed yourself. Yeah. But the population of Australia is 25 million, right? Yeah.
Lina.
And 100 million people watch the final in China.
Yeah.
Whoa. That women's final, yeah.
God, I was, that was like I was watching the, I was listening to the ESPN podcast and it's got all those great stories about this Japanese baseball player.
Oh, yeah.
That went the first guy to get signed to America. And the Japanese were like, how dare you disgrace yourself? Leave Japanese baseball. We hate you. Because he was good, he had this weird tornado-type pitch and then he became huge in Japan, just completely backflipped on him and said, oh, he represents our country. He's no longer a disgrace. And the prime minister called him to speak to him and he's like, you know what? Nah.
That was it?
Just fully deflected him. Right. He's like, nah, you turned your back on me.
Oh, classic Japanese backflip.
Lina? I should say the premise before we get too far into it.
Welcome to the sports politically incorrect podcast with Mike Goldstein.
The original working title of this podcast was Tall Asians.
That's not bad, actually. This is actually great, and it's good to have you here, Lima. This is the first time Capper and I have been in the same room with each other in about 2 months. So it's like exciting just to be around another person that's not my partner.
Yeah. How's that working out for you?
I could take it or leave it, really.
Let's see how it goes.
I was thinking we'd have some kind of – I was picturing like an
embrace.
A hug, an embrace.
But how did you greet each other?
A foot kick, elbow tap.
Yeah, I made the mistake this time because usually, you know, Mike's a bit standoffish. So, but then he has gone for the hug the last couple of times when we haven't seen each other in a while. And he looks offended when I don't go to hug him.
Really?
He's like, and I thought, I thought you wouldn't be in for the hug. So this time I went for the hug, and he's like, nah. Don't come near me, dipshit.
I don't know that I've ever gone for the hug ever.
Yeah, he's gone for the hug twice.
Really?
Yeah.
In a pre-corona world.
It's locked into my memory.
I think I was drinking a lot.
Yeah. You were crying.
It was in his ecstasy phase.
I should say, though, the premise is we all swap phones and a spinning wheel decides whether we go through draft tweets, notes, camera roll, or search history. Because we've been doing the past 4 or 5 over Zoom, we've just been holding our phones up to the screen.
Right. Okay,
so there's been no swapping of phones. So today is different in that we can actually turn phones over, and then we have the sanitizer right there if anyone's weird about spreading anything around. You two are very hirsute-looking cavemen at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
So just aesthetically, don't look that hygienic. But I'm happy to swap the phones. And you said before, out of those four categories, we chatted briefly before recording, you're not worried about anything, really.
Not really.
Yeah.
Nah, you can go for it unless, I mean, I'm trying to think. We may well get into something and then I'm going to go,
yeah, just tap out.
Are you a draft, tweets man, Limo, or you just fire them out?
No, I used to be. In fact, I've still got heaps of draft tweets.
Yeah.
So that's one area. But I haven't kept a draft for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
But I haven't deleted the ones that are there.
Great.
If that makes sense. So who, God knows what's there. And I don't even know how to, you mentioned search history. I have no idea how to even search internet history on your phone.
Do you have the Google app or Safari even? You just open that.
Yeah,
and
I just use.
We'll deal with it if it.
Anyway,
yeah. If it lands on it.
I've just got that thing there.
Yeah, that's fine. And then there's a way to pull up just whatever you've looked through.
I thought that was a humble brag then.
How old did I sound just then? I've got that thing. There's no point to an app.
Yeah, exactly. It's right next to the Ask Jeeves app.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds great.
Oh, it's old. What were you going to say? That when he pulled up his screen, there was just a million messages.
Yeah, I saw a million messages. I was like, what a fucking humble brag here.
Oh, sorry. Let me just see who's messaged me.
What a humble brag. Limo ignores his wife.
Oh, here we go. Ricky Gervais. Oh,
So on last week's episode, we had American comedian Ari Shaffir, who it was almost impossible because at the end of the eps, we write little hacks for, you know, either send it out on each other's socials or it lands on something else. But for the guests, we pre-prepare shit for them to do. And if you're not cool with it, obviously you don't have to do shit.
Sure.
But we'll just float the ideas and see what you think. Ari, I don't know if you're aware of his online persona, but he's a lunatic, like absolute fucking lunatic. So anything we suggested to him was almost too tame. Like he was gonna say, I offered this one. I said, say in all this doom and gloom, just remember Greta Thunberg turns 18 on January 3rd, you know, and then a slubber. And he was like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll do that. And I was like, oh fuck, he's too keen.
We gotta
do something else. And the one he went with, I don't know if you're aware, he got in a shit ton of trouble after Kobe Bryant died because he tweeted like just this brutal joke saying the true hero is the guy who forgot to fuel up the chopper or something. And it was he got a ton of death threats and like it just fucking blew up.
That's a pretty wild, just send that out. If you remove emotion from it, was it a funny tweet?
Well, he is known for every time a celebrity dies. You know how Luke Heggie, when a celebrity dies, he goes RIP, but then promotes something off the back of it. Yeah. But Ari will just make the most heinous joke possible.
Right.
But with basketball fans, they didn't take kindly to it at all. So,
it's an interesting game plan.
Oh man! And this because you know, like every celebrity that dies, it was kind of his thing. I'm just going to say the most evil shit.
I feel like using that angle, you're welding on a handful of people and you're losing thousands of others every time you do
it. I know, that's it. And so he actually went dark on Twitter for a while where he just like shut his account down or something and he was just like ignoring
it. Away.
Because it was just too much. The tweet went viral for all the worst reasons.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So what we got him to do is he just did a 30-day yoga course like he's, you know, during quarantine where he's actually teaching yoga. And my suggestion was that he just tweet out, have come to the somber realization that comedy as we know it is dead. Stand-up will no longer exist going forward. Once the travel restrictions are lifted, I'll be moving to India to study Buddhism in Bodh Gaya. We should all strive for more inner peace and enlightenment, right? And that's the one.
I love it.
That one hit him hard because he's like, oh, that's earnest and corny. And like, he's like, oh, like so grossed out by it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, and I'll also send you this picture of Kobe Bryant being picked up in heaven by what's his name? Paul Walker.
Paul Walker.
From Fast and the Furious.
Oh, no.
And I go, do what you want with it. And that I didn't expect him to attach it to that tweet, but he did. That's how he sent the tweet out.
Right. And let me put my glasses on so I can just read how much action he got on this.
So that's the – it's just
a
screenshot.
So he's got 2,000 likes.
Yeah.
80 retweets, 150 comments. Have you been through the comments?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many, obviously, and most of them are like, you're still a piece of shit. Why are you following him then? You know, like people, this is what he is, you know? Yeah. But like people are, you're still a piece of shit and like get over it. But the best responses were, you know, is this a joke? Are you serious? Don't go. You know, we need you. Ari, you made one poorly timed joke and got shit for it. No big deal. It'll be forgotten soon. Relax, my man. So this is what we wanted. We wanted people to like respond, you know, and that's the large majority of it was that. A lot of, as Twitter, as the dumpster fire we know it to be, a lot of real like attacks on Ari as a person, you know? Yeah. But he was a good sport. He was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll leave it. It's still up there. So our listeners, go and look at Ari Shaffir's Twitter page and go through the responses if you want.
It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It took me about half an hour to get through the responses and only been up for a few hours.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't replied to any of those people to set the record straight. That's one of the rules.
Yeah. Well, you can. No, of course. Either delete it after an hour or say edit it. And I guess Twitter, you just have to delete, right?
Yeah, right.
Or usually people, we had Mel Bracewell on and she just left it up. Do you want to pause?
Yeah.
Capper's got someone
knocking at the front door.
I think it's a delivery, hopefully.
Yeah.
It was a really aggressive knock.
What are you expecting?
It's a guy here to collect money.
Yeah. That's your Fleshlight delivery guy?
Yeah.
Got the weekly.
So I was so protective. I was like, oh, man, they're going to see the Sexyland box.
Another blow-up doll.
I hope an angel doesn't deliver it this time, or a guy in a gimp suit.
We got Mel Bracewell to post. She was doing Celebrity Married at First Sight. And people bought it, you know, New Zealand.
And
she got a concerned call from her brother. She only left it up for 20 minutes before saying, I did, you know, the shitty podcast with these middling comedians in Australia. So it's just up to whoever the guest is, you know. We've had guests on that refuse to do anything, which is obviously totally fine. Who gives a shit? But they're the giant pussies that will...
They'll forever be known. In fact, if you look into the other room, there's a board titled Giant Pussies with everyone's name.
They'll never be on Tall Asians ever again.
That's a separate board.
It's one of those height boards.
Oh, God.
It's a mood board. Okay, we got the Phone Hacks podcast, marketing idea. Tall Asians, giant pussies. What's a Venn diagram here?
And the other hacks that went out was I had kind of subtweeted Andy Lee a few weeks ago because he did one of those challenges over, I don't know, Twitter and Instagram. Where he was hitting a tennis ball from his driveway and then running through his house and then catching it on the other side of his house, right?
Right.
So the video is him hitting it on one side of the house and then he runs through and catches it on the other side, right? But he runs through and it's like this beautiful mansion and he catches tennis ball before falling into his infinity pool. So I just kind of had screened.
Is it edited?
No, I think he legit ran through his fucking house.
I watched it. Unless he had someone on the roof throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
But, so he just hits it really high and then runs.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which would be fun, you know? Like, it would be fun to be that fucking wealthy as well.
I know he did. Andy posted a picture of laying in his infinity pool watching a TV that pops up out of the deck. The back is watching cricket. And then some people just started really laying into him.
Oh, is this for real?
Buffet true story.
Oh, really?
On Instagram. It's an amazing television. Like, if you look at it, you'd be like, I'd get that.
Of course.
If I had the money, I'd totally get
that. So Andy Lee is quietly like Australia's Dan Blazarian. Do you know that dude?
No.
He's just this Instagram lord that is just all hot chicks and mansions.
I know that guy. But he's got millions of followers.
Yeah.
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 He just ripped with machine guns and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty weird comparison. Andy Lee, the nicest, unaggressive dude ever, probably never even seen a gun.
It's what you call it, a joke. So I subtweeted him and I said, a screenshot of him doing the tennis ball thing, and I said, fun challenge for everyone, hit tennis ball over Beachside Mansion and catch it before it lands in your infinity pool. So that was a legit tweet I did. And then Capper had me DM him on Instagram and say, sorry about this, man, just real scared with everything going on, hoping in hang soon and bantered up, peace, MG.
And did he get back to you?
No, because nothing. Zero.
There's nothing quite as unnerving as complete silence, because you go through the entire suite of potential reactions.
Oh, yeah.
To your, I had one recently where I messaged an AFL footballer who I know, right, to come onto a podcast. And I sent him the message explaining what the podcast was, telling him other footballers had been on it. So we'd love to have you on. If you can't do it, no worries at all. Totally get it. And he just never replied. So then in my head I start going, God, has he got some issue that I don't know about? Did he get the message? And has he been meaning to reply?
Yeah.
Is it just sitting in his inbox? Has he opened it and thought, fuck Lemo?
Oh, yeah. You become a 14-year-old boy just sending a text to a girl.
It's the worst anxiety ever. The funniest one was when I had to send you one for an episode on Instagram when you're on holiday or something. Hey, mate, have a good holiday.
Oh, was that for an episode?
What is it? The sun is winter's caress or something like that?
Oh, did you get? So you read that?
Oh, the funny.
No, I never got it because I'm old. I didn't realize that there were direct messages on Instagram.
Right.
So then we bump into each other and you ask me.
Yeah.
And I went, I don't know. And then I gave him my phone and he found the direct message bit and showed me while he was standing next to me.
Had to filter through so many models and, you know, it wasn't a bunch of comedy dorks. It was just full
just
of...
Just hotties, just the bottom.
And it was so funny because we're at the comics lounge and I show you how to do it.
Yeah.
And I just think nothing of it. You're like, oh, that's funny. And then you walk away and then I get a message like, 5 minutes later, leave me alone. Oh, no, don't message me again.
Never message me again.
Nice. Yeah. Because it was something romantic or, you know.
Yeah,
it was
winter is the sun's caress.
Yeah, fuck.
Something like that. Yeah, it was fucked up.
Well, because we had to do that same thing with Jim Owen where Capper had me text him a picture of me flexing and with the caption, built to fuck. And Jim Owen didn't know he had direct messages on Instagram. So remember we had to go through it with him and in front of his wife and they're both confused. They're like,
it just looked like we were two young guys who just pulled up on our Razor scooters and we're like, look at this. Yeah. Look at this, Jim Owen. Look at our fun little Instagram game. And he's like, his wife was like, are you guys mocking us or what? You know what I mean? Like,
There we go. He says, to Lemo. Find a heart that will love you at your most difficult and arms that will hold you at your weakest.
The best part for me is to Lemo when it's a direct message.
So that's on 27 December. I find it on 14 January at the Comics Lounge. Yeah. That's what I said. Never message me again.
Perfect. Yeah. So, Andy Lee would be the same shit. I mean, he might know there's direct messages, but it's just sitting in there.
Yeah.
And maybe one day he goes through his shit and he's like, what the fuck is...
You know, he's got a lot of followers.
Yeah.
He may never look at direct messages.
Probably, yeah. It's just in requests.
The craziest guys are like Will Anderson wrote back. I wrote to him something. I forget what I...
Oh, your next festival show should be called Will I Ever Be Funny?
And what did he say when he got back to
you? He wrote something back like... It was fucking... It was a very well-crafted response.
Yeah.
That was like... thanks. I'll remember that in my 20th comedy festival year or something like that. Yeah. You know?
Oh, right. When I'm selling out theaters.
Yeah. It was good. And then I think Merrick did the same. Merrick, what did I write to him? Hey, mate, been noticing you've been doing stand-up lately. Let me know if you need any pointers.
So we're just ultimate troll
the
pieces
worst,
of shit.
Yeah. Just fucking
at least you got like
on
a nice
coattails.
Romantic one. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
When you get a message back, you're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
This is good. I like it. Yeah. Well, I got a romantic one. That
that was good,
would have given me a warm tingle. I would have been in Fiji. when you sent that.
Yeah, 2 days after Christmas.
At the time.
Yeah.
To be honest, I was very relieved about that one, man, because you're one of the nicest guys ever. So I couldn't – I mean, not that the other guys aren't nice, but they can – kind of, they'd fire something back. Whereas yours, you would be either like, ha ha, funny mate, or it would be, fuck you.
You're dead to me. Come back when I see you, you fucking asshole.
You don't want to cross limo, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got that surfer attitude, yeah. You know?
No, we're all good. We're all good at the moment.
Cap, you didn't get a response on your hack from Ari Shaffir's episode, did you? It was kind of a repeat of one Capper had done to me where he found an old photo on a friend's Facebook page and he commented, so it looked like it was for me, and he commented, yeah. I don't think this photo is very good. Why'd you even post it, right? And then she actually commented back. She said, I didn't think you'd have the time to comment on a photo from 2017. Comedy must not be going very well. So I got just absolutely fucking ripped by this chick. But yeah, Capper, I think we found an old boss.
And who is it? Someone.
She was. She's the wife of a guy I knew at uni in Perth. So kind of too removed.
She's really sunk the boots in, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. That type of response is fantastic, even though, you know, it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. Well, mine was my old boss at Flight Center, and she requested – she a friend requested me like the day before.
Oh, God.
And so, yeah. So I added her, and it's just got a nice photo of her. Just at the beach, she's having a holiday.
Yeah.
She's Woolloomooloo. And I said, I actually don't think this photo is that good. Why did you put it up?
Yeah. And no, nothing.
Nothing.
And you got nothing
not one
back.
One thing. And she initiated the friend request. So she's obviously seen this.
Oh, yeah.
And was she, would you describe her as someone who liked to have a laugh as a bit of fun?
She did love to have a laugh.
Yeah.
But
yeah, right.
Then I thought it would have got a reply.
And you also had no interaction with her in years.
Oh, yeah, like 8 years.
Yeah.
Right. So the first interaction is you insulting her looks.
Yeah. Or her photo.
Just a photo. But with women,
oh, sorry, her looks in the photo. Right.
So, yeah, absolutely brutal. I'm still thinking about it. I couldn't sleep that night.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what? Then it's really hard, doesn't matter who you are, to follow it up with, oh, I was just joking around. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When you do an explanation like, oh, it's part of this podcast I do or we hack it, people are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You still said it, fuckhead.
Yeah.
What kind of podcast like this would exist?
What sort of a person are you? So this is a deliberate tactic week in, week out.
Yeah.
You've chosen this as a life course.
Yeah.
Now that you break it down. Yeah.
You fucking troll.
And you're telling me hundreds of people are listening to this?
Hundreds?
Yeah. Oh, we're big time. Yeah, so great episode with Ari Shaffir. Those were the hacks. It was, and I think what we got in store for you at the end of the app, well, we'll see. Because okay. I contacted your good friend Danny McGinley, and he had some ideas.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Capper's got some ideas for you as well. But before we do that, should we go through the phones?
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
I haven't heard the sound in real life for a while, the anxiety-induced wheel.
Yeah.
That is going to come up. And, you know, usually I just hear it through the headphones and the computer. It's good to hear it in real life.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
So this is
Oh, look at that. Oh.
This is the wheel app technology.
Okay, I love it.
There is no music.
You got to turn it up, Mark.
So it makes noise?
What were you watching on the tram?
Where did you get the wheel from?
Oh, they're playing an ad, though. That's good. It was just a random app I found through the store. I think Wheel of Destiny.
Wheel of Destiny.
Yeah.
It's got the like happiest music for something that's potentially
massively defamatory.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
it's got a lot of ads. What's going on?
Well, that's the thing. It's just playing the ads and not the music that you've talked up. So I'm trying to get the music going. No music. You'll have to sing, Capper. That's pretty bad.
Quick, spin the wheel.
The wheel is spinning, and Limo, you'll be going through my advertisement that keeps popping up. It looks like this is search history. All right.
Okay.
So I'll bring up my search history. We'll spin the wheel for each phone, and then just pick a few things, whatever catches your eye, you wanna
sure.
ask about. There's a lot in there. It's been a, you know, we banked up that Ari one, so it's been a few weeks since we've recorded.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let me know.
Okay. So you just want me to pick out...
Whatever you think's interesting or weird or needs an explanation.
Yeah, what's... So you've Googled here, difference between rye whiskey and bourbon.
Uh-huh. Oh,
this because... Is there some sort of... allergy thing going on here?
No. I think I've been in isolation, been drinking quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I got recommendations from a friend who is all about the dark spirits. And it sounds weird to say. And he suggested a rye. And instead of acting like I knew what a rye was compared to a bourbon, I quickly Googled it so I could, you know, sound as knowledgeable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So this wasn't even for curiosity.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
But it's to hold my own and it's talking about alcohol.
And what is the difference?
Fuck, do I remember? Rye, is it the, I don't know, one's got rye. It's something in its preparation. Obviously, in its preparation, rye is...
So you obviously intimidated this guy quite heavily when you dropped that bomb on him.
Yeah.
And you know the search before that is you became a bogan real quick because the search before that is Woodford Reserve Double Oaked.
Yeah.
And then the next search is the difference between whiskey and bourbon.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, trying to become a connoisseur, but obviously immediately forget everything I've learned because I drink too much of this shit.
Right. Explain the Wave movie, 2019.
What's that? SBS Viceland. For some reason, I've been watching a shitload of that channel.
Oh, yeah.
And they played
it's a free shit.
Yeah, a movie I'd never heard of starring Justin Long called The Wave. And he does some psychedelic, and then the whole movie is just his hallucination and all the fucked up shit he goes through.
Oh, right.
And the ending is this total clusterfuck of a narrative. And so, like rye and bourbon, I wanted to understand it better. So I looked it up on my phone. I got nothing but time.
Okay, what have we got here? Nick Kappa naked.
That's just for my own personal files.
Right.
I thought you had that already.
Yeah, I do.
Google.
Yeah. Vigo the Carpathian.
Ah, okay. Vigo the Carpathian? Does that ring any bells
no.
to anyone?
No,
Ghostbusters no. 2. He's the villain that lives in the painting.
Right. Yeah, no.
Man, I thought it sounded like I was like, wow, Mike's learning in isolation. It's ancient history.
Yeah.
He's stretching himself creatively.
Yeah.
And then it's just Ghostbusters too.
Yeah, because my brother...
Eastern European history.
My brother posted a picture of Val Kilmer now. Have you seen?
Right. And he's not looking good.
Well, I think he had like a trachea cancer, something, some kind of throat cancer, and his just health and everything's just falling apart, right?
Yeah.
And he posted a picture of him, and he looks like Vigo the Carpathian. So I Googled that, and then posted the picture. That's the whole fucking. That's the whole story arc.
A lot of time.
Yeah, a lot of time.
I like this one. Fat Amy Winehouse.
Ah, all right. Last one. We'll move on. There was an act in Perth that used to do an Amy Winehouse impersonation, right?
Yeah.
And she wasn't big per se, but she would do a joke that apparently is kind of a cliche. The Amy, instead of Amy Winehouse, Amy Beer Apartment. Is that fucking old and...
Oh, Amy Winehouse, Amy Beer Apartment. I'd never heard of that.
And I thought of it and I was just like, "What? First of all, what happened to this Perth comedian? And then Amy Beer Apartment is so stupid that it's fucking hilarious to me.
Amy Beer Apartment. It's like, you know Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah.
I remember there was seeing
Dick
someone
once... Dick Carr Lesbian?
Or Penis Van Lesbian.
Oh, okay. Penis Carr, yeah, that's great.
Hang on, I have to ask one more.
All right, one more.
What to do when poop is stuck in toilet.
All right. Yeah, we're done. Oh, man. I think if you listen to the Mug Off podcast, you would know this story.
Yeah. It's the worst story.
It's fucking
you
heinous.
Have to say it. Just,
do I have to?
Yeah, just a quick.
Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I been eating a lot of lentils in isolation.
Right.
Anyways, I took a dump that was so heavy and girthy, the Yao Ming of dumps, if you will, that it everything flushed away besides one log that like absolutely adhered itself to the bottom of the cistern, right?
And adhered.
Yeah. I might as well spruce it up a little.
I didn't want to leave you.
Is that a villain from Ghostbusters 3?
he named it Viggo Carpathian.
Viggo the Crapathian. It was absolutely lodged there, and it wasn't like the toilet was clogged because everything else was flushing past it.
Right.
And my poor fiance was absolutely horrified. She was like, I can't go in there, and, you know, and like, and because we've been stuck in the same apartment, like you're not really outsourcing any, you know, bathroom time, you know, you're not
outsourcing.
Going
outsourcing. That's good. I love
outsourcing
that.
Bathroom time.
Sorry, but I'm going to have to take this one to McDonald's.
Yeah. So she had...
I'm just off to the neighbors, to the park.
So she had no option.
Is there an app for that?
Hey, three bowls of lentils. This one's a public toilet.
I've got a match. There's a service station just up the road. I can come to.
So she was absolutely horrified, like I said. She was like, you have to get rid of it. I said, you know, I don't know what to do. We don't have a plunger at the house. And she was like, we'll figure it out. And I was like, what do you suggest? And she said, pour boiling water on it was her suggestion, which turned out to be the worst fucking idea because all it did was liquefy the tip. And then I got shit steam directly in my face.
Oh, hang on, so the tip was still coming out of the water.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a monster.
It was like Nessie. It was like the Loch Ness monster. Oh, shit.
As big as Val Kilmer's neck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So I filled the kettle, poured boiling water on it, and it just, like I said, liquefied the tip, and I got shit steamed.
Were you tempted at any point to get two buttons and put little eyes on them?
Yeah, you know, why not? Update the emoji. Yeah, that's great.
But if you just keep flushing, eventually it's going to...
No, it wasn't even fucking chipping the paint off. It's
the Titanic could move this one.
So eventually, what? It gets worse. Eventually, I went out to the there's like a shared garden area in the apartment block, and I found a sharp stick, and I brought the stick inside, and I chopped it up. And just this murky brown.
Like a serial killer now.
And chopped it up, and then that eventually did the trick, but then I had this like lollipop shit stick, and so I just threw it off the balcony.
Into the shared area?
Into the shared area. Let one of the kids that play there, you know, deal with it.
Nice. So how, from when you did the shit to when you eventually farewelled it, how long was it?
It was a good, I want to say 36 hours. So we were trying to navigate what we had to do around it in that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you give it a name?
Well, she was calling it Michael Shitstein, I think. Yeah.
Michael Shitstein.
That's kind of supporting me on my upcoming tour.
I love it that this like stand up was replaced by a different project for you.
What did you do in isolation? And tried to delete a shit from that toilet.
Yeah, so that was the the biggest kind of trial and tribulation I've been through over this quarantine period. God.
That is the best and worst story I've ever heard.
Yeah. It's coming. It's killed 36 hours.
Oh, yeah. But I did Google it, and I think they were just like, yeah, chop it up with a plunger, and that's when I got got the stick. Yeah, you know? Right, okay. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, there you go. We all happy?
Good gift.
All right, spinning the wheel. Lima, you'll be handing your phone over to Capper. Again, I don't know why the music is not working, but whatever. All right, so Capper, you'll be going through in Lima's phone. It looks like camera roll.
Camera roll.
There you go. Oh, you're a family man. Is it? I imagine it's just.
There's going to be a lot of really boring family photos.
Yeah,
a lot of kids hanging out.
Is there one playing with a shit stick?
But I do lots of stills if I want to put something on Insta or if I want to send it to people. Sometimes, actually, I think WhatsApp messages that other people send go straight into my camera roll.
Right.
Could be dodgy photos.
Yeah, that happened. That used to happen to me with. Well, I had that setting on Facebook Messenger. WhatsApp.
Right. So yeah.
You just get the weirdest. Because I got all my country mates.
So my wife would be going through my photos. And she'd be like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to what someone sent it to me.
Yeah.
This is a great excuse,
too, for having fucked
up. Oh, not weird, but this is. It's got you in front of a blackboard. With sums and stuff.
Yeah, right. I did a Zoom corporate gig.
Ah.
And I did a virtual background. It was for an accounting firm and I did a virtual background of like, you know, complicated equations on the blackboard.
The Goodwill Hunting.
But that kind of vibe.
It's cool because it's cut out like a bit of your beard here, weirdly.
Right.
Like it's been photoshopped badly.
Actually, it really hasn't. Yeah. So that was me trying to be amusing with the Zoom company.
How was the gig?
Yeah.
You know what? It was great because the two managing directors just interviewed me. So it was just a Q&A.
Oh, great.
With them.
Yeah.
So they got – and they asked me a lot of – they ended up asking me a lot of serious stuff about doing shows for the troops and about the fact that I was an accountant for 10 years. Oh. And that was an accounting firm.
Okay.
So they were kind of into that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it went well. They were pretty cool firm. This firm is called Blue Rock and their website looks like an acid trip. Like it's good. Yeah. In fact, I've got a still of the website. It should be right next to that.
Oh, yep. Blue Rock.
Right. And it says like a spaceship and all this other crap on it.
Oh, because you used to be an accountant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said it's called Blue Rock, which I pointed out to them is what Walter White used to sell on Breaking Bad.
Oh, nice.
So they're breaking the boring mold.
Yeah, yeah. Accounting, man. It's a whole roller coaster now. It's fucking
it really is. It's crazy. Yeah. One of the guys even didn't have his shirt tucked in.
Holy shit.
It's fucking crazy.
You've got you and Mason Cox side by side.
Yeah, he came on. So I do another podcast and he came on as a guest. Man. So I was doing that as an Instagram post publicizing. We did an Instagram live together. So I did that publicizing. And you know, on Instagram, have you ever done an Instagram live?
No.
Once, yeah.
So they have how many people are watching in the corner. And as a performer, all I can do is watch the number in the corner.
And people
to see if it's going up or down.
Yeah, people pop in for a second and then they pop out straight away. They're like, holy fuck, I'm only the fourth person in here, or whatever.
So I was just spent the whole time staring at the number. And then when it would go down, you know, if it would drop 20 or 30 people, I'd just sit there going, fuck, what did I say? Why are they leaving?
It's the equivalent of a walkout in a comedy show.
You can't see them. Yeah. It's like when I did the Zoom corporate. I couldn't see any of the employees. There's 150 of them watching, but I couldn't see any of them. I could only see the two managing directors.
Right.
But I could see how many comments were popping up.
Okay.
And I just wanted to read the fucking comments.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Were they muted?
Like, could you hear they were all muted. I couldn't hear them. No.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Who knows what the fuck was going on?
But man, that's a way better approach because I've heard of some nightmare ones. People have been doing over Zoom, like stand-up ones and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
that's a way better to do a Q&A and just kind of be funny.
And I gave them questions to ask, led me into bits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, excellent.
So is it true that once you blah, 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 like, oh, Funny you should bring it up, Steve.
Yeah. Man, don't take a spot.
Did I ever? Yeah.
Man,
they tell me you're fascinated by tall people. Well, yeah, let me. Yeah. Yeah.
Look at this picture of me and Mason Cox. Yeah, right. What do you think?
He's a massive unit.
Man, yeah. Mason Cox, you know, the AFL player, for those who don't know. He didn't play any AFL before he came over here. He was some other sports star,
so
right?
He played soccer at college.
Yeah.
His girlfriend played basketball.
Yeah.
And he was at basketball training watching her train, and the coach said, oh, we need someone really tall to help us with defensive training. Can you just come out and help us train with the girls, right? So he says, sure. So he goes out and helps them train. Turns out he's really good at basketball.
Oh, right.
So then he starts playing basketball.
Yeah.
Doesn't get drafted. So goes to an AFL draft camp in America, and they go, oh, you might be okay. So then they get him out to Australia, and Collingwood drafted him.
Wow, and he's good. He's so good.
It's amazing. You should see the early videos of him.
Yeah.
He looks like someone who's never played footy before.
Right.
Wow. Yeah,
like the handballing is totally unco.
Well, he was. Yes.
He can't kick.
Wasn't he, though?
And he was someone who'd never played football, but that's exactly what he looked like
as
well.
Yeah, of course.
That is so weird.
It's not
like
he got a footy and just went,
just a natural.
Just a natural. Yeah.
I'm like watching the basketball documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
It gives you an appreciation. I never knew this before about the competitive spirit, how there are naturals and how there are people that just keep going.
And they can't, like the Michael Jordan, one of my favourite stories is him betting his teammates that his luggage would come out first on the carousel.
Yeah.
But what his teammates didn't know is he'd paid off the baggage handlers to put his bag out first. Which I think that's funny.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
That's good gear.
Yeah, yeah.
And also with the director, I heard an interview with the director of the Jordan doco saying he was at a hotel in New York and they shared a car, him and Jordan, to the Madison Square Garden. It was dropping Jordan off to some event. And they get in the car and Jordan says, how many Air Jordans will we see between here and Madison Square Garden? Yeah. And the movie director goes, I don't know, less than 10?
Yeah.
And Jordan goes, you're on, $100. Okay. So they start counting them and with a block to go, they're up to about 4. And the dude says, I think I'm going to win this. And Jordan goes, I don't think so. But what the guy didn't realise is that there was an Air Jordan function on at Madison Square Garden. So once they got within a block, everyone was wearing Air Jordans. So the count ended at like 200 or something. Yeah.
So basically Jordan just cheats all
the
time.
He just cheats.
Yeah. He cheated the whole time. You know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The only other photo I'm going to talk about, Lima, is you've got a screenshot of the Cake album Fashion Nut.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Is that because it's one of your faves? Or?
It is. I do love it. But there was a thing going around on Twitter where you had to post 4 albums that you listened to from start to finish without skipping any songs.
Right.
Oh.
And Fashion Nut's one I...
Is that their first one that's got all the huge hits?
Yeah, it's 97, so it's like...
He's Going the Distance.
Going the Distance.
Great song.
Stick Shifts and Safety Belts.
It's got the disco cover.
It's got the crown on the cover.
I Will Survive. Yeah. Didn't they do a cover of Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive?
That's on this album. I thought you meant the cover. But it's just a cake with the...
Oh, yeah, that's the...
Because was it one dude by himself?
No.
Cake?
No, it's a full band. I actually watched them play at Jongleurs in London, which is a comedy venue.
Yeah.
Who sometimes have bands.
Yeah.
But, man, they were so good.
What, they played at Jongleurs?
Yeah.
Wow. Fuck that.
And that in Camden.
I mean, that's great. I've played that club before. Yeah. Actually, the Camden one was all right, but anyone who knows Jongleurs knows there are some nightmare venues.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Along the way.
They used to only have 2.
You're right.
Yeah. There was like Battersea and... Camden.
Yeah.
And they were both great.
Oh, right.
But then they just spread their wings and there was like 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
And some of them.
Camden Jonglers probably thought it was an actual cake that a fucking stripper was going to jump out of or something.
This is not what I ordered.
So I'm a cake fan.
What were the other albums?
They'll be next to Cake here on this list.
Not to.
Let me see what else I had. Oh, weddings, parties, anything.
Oh,
Big
right.
Don't Argue.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash, The Essential.
Ooh.
Best of Johnny Cash. And I put in, just for a bit of local support, All Our Exes Live in Texas.
Oh, right.
Which is an all-girl band from Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's I just love that album.
Yeah.
It's kind of got a – I kind of like country music.
Man, you do – you get a bit – I remember I couldn't stand country music.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, metal, rock and roll, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I remember anyone cool – you. Any cool interview with a rock and roll person, they'd be like, yeah, I grew up listening to Hank Williams.
Hank Williams,
everyone
yeah.
Everyone grew up listening to Hank Williams.
And, you know, Johnny Cash and there's a real country vibe yeah. to Johnny Cash.
Slowly go there.
Cash is the gateway for people to country, you know, because he's cool, you know, he's a heroin addict. You're like, he's still rock and roll.
Yeah. He ticks a lot of rock boxes and he sounds a bit country.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
spinning the wheel to see what I go through in the Oppo.
Yes.
All right. So yet again, no music.
Yeah.
Try it once more. Yeah. Oop.
It's running a bit slow today, the old Oppo.
Well, the Oppo always runs slow. Yeah, are you familiar with the piece of shit Oppo?
What's brand? The Oppo?
$300 and brand new. Right. You know? Well, not
this
brand new.
This is your smartphone.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What is Oppo?
It's like a
smart is used loosely.
is Oppo the brand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So instead of Apple or Samsung, you've got Oppo.
Yeah. Oppo.
What percentage of the market do you reckon Oppo's secured?
Fuck knows, but they'd somehow
it
got...
It's the biggest selling phone in India.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's the biggest made phone in India in sweatshirts.
Well, you know, they want quality. They want quality over there. They don't just buy and throw it away, you know?
There's a billion of those fuckers out there.
So it's like the whole thing, the battery lasts maybe an hour or two. So that's why the podcast only goes for an hour, because otherwise the phone dies. It's a whole thing. Draft tweets for you, Cap.
Oh, right. Oh, man, I haven't been too I've been writing in a notepad so I don't get distracted, you know. But so I don't have too many tweets, I hope.
Do you normally, how long do you sit on a draft for before you send it?
My shit just stays forever, I think. If I don't go back to it in time, either it's dated or it's sucked in the first place.
And, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Too indecisive, I guess, but it's just...
Yeah.
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 I will these days instead of a draft. What I do a bit is I'll post it and then I'll delete it almost immediately, and then go and do it again.
Yeah,
I'm so. I thought I was the only one who did that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Or when it doesn't get a good response, I take it down.
You can always tell when someone's overdrafted it because there's a really glaring grammatical error.
Yeah.
Like they've left in an of.
Moved it around.
Change the tense or something.
Yeah. And that grammatical error just fucks it completely, you know? Because totally. Some asshole comments like, of, you know? Yeah, and you're it's ruined.
And it's weird how people don't pull you up on that straight away. Like sometimes I've had a tweet.
A queef?
Queef. I've had a queef go real good.
It's Queen Latifah.
Real good. And then about 2 hours later, someone will go, of, and I'm like, how come any of you pricks couldn't tell me that at the start?
Yeah.
This could have gone a whole lot better.
It's like when you got something on your face. Spin it all night.
Yeah.
No one fucking said anything.
Yeah.
You just have heavy metal boobies.
Heavy metal boobies.
Yeah.
Is that a draft tweet?
That's a draft tweet. Those three words. All caps. Heavy metal boobies.
Heavy metal boobies.
Were you meaning to attach a photo to that?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think it's what I was trying to... Because, you know, you see those movie, like it's got that, who was that character, that lady who used to present horror movies?
Elvira.
Had the big rack.
Elvira.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And you kind of see those in metal bands and stuff, like in the metal.
Oh, right, with the metal kind of tops.
Well, there was that animated thing, Heavy Metal, that was all women with giant racks.
Yeah, that's right.
And they made a few movies and shit. It's all real bad and like fantasy shit, but it was all somehow tied to like 80s metal as well.
Yeah.
Do you remember this shit?
No.
Yeah, Heavy Metal, the comic book.
Yeah.
And it was beautifully drawn by, this guy, Boris Valigia or whatever. But you could tell he was just a weird dork with a huge beard.
Yeah.
Slumping over his desk while he draws the most beautiful women ever.
Yeah.
But they always like got big boobs and I'm like, can't metal bands... You know, can't they have chicks in the clips that are a bit flat chested?
Can't someone dance on a car she's as flat as the bonnet?
Yeah. Just have a nice flat lady, you know.
Wouldn't that be a nice bit of rock and roll rebellion to go against the norm?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, why are the boobs in heavy metal got to be so exaggerated? You know?
Yeah, we tried it. Our lowest selling album ever. Yeah, okay, yeah, all right, yeah, get it.
Yeah. Turns out we got a lot of lonely men in there.
Motley Crue's Girls, Girls, Girls is just flat girls. these girls. It would be, no one would give a shit. That's so heavy. It is like you, like a 9-year-old boy's, I don't know, the heavy metal boobies thing. And then straight after, like there was one where I passed it, big, heavy, or gigantic farts.
Gigantic farts.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
were you brainstorming names of festival shows? Yeah, yeah.
That or
Nick Kappa presents.
Yeah. The two things you're thinking about the most, heavy metal boobies, gigantic farts, like isolation's been tough.
I was brainstorming names of my festival show and names of future children. You know? You wouldn't bully heavy metal boobies. No way.
Beavis and Butthead episodes that should have happened.
One more. Let's see. Most Judd Apatow movies are chubby white people dancing in slow motion to loud hip-hop music.
Yeah, it is. It's mostly...
So, okay, let's go through. 40-year-old virgin?
Yeah.
40-year-old virgin...
Do you think all the Seth Rogen ones? Is there a dance club scene or something where he's dancing? You know, there's those... And Seth Rogen's the friend in that. And they do shrooms and they would fucking...
They just kind of like... He does those shots where it's got slow motion. They turn the music up real loud.
Yeah.
And then it's got the daggy person walking in slow motion, like a daggy chubby guy or something.
They also do that in the – I don't think it's a Judd Apatow film. What's the one where Rose Byrne and – is it Seth Rogen or the Next Door Neighbors?
Neighbors. It's just called Neighbors.
Is it called Neighbors?
Well, they, here in Australia, they had to call it Good Neighbors or Bad Neighbors because they thought people were so dumb. They thought they made a feature film – of the fucking TV show Neighbors.
That shows you, number one, that shows you how dumb the people are going to watch it. Yeah. Number two, shows you how dumb people are that watch Neighbors.
Yeah. I want her to see Toadfish Rebecca on the big screen. Yeah. You know?
What's the name of the pub in I can't remember. They don't have this problem with
if they had a movie called Neighbors with like Daniel Day-Lewis in it, they would have no problem at all. You know?
Yeah, exactly. What else could they make a mistake with? Is there a movie called Home and Away?
Far and Away. It's a Tom Cruise.
Far and Away. Yeah. I wonder if that was full of confused Home and Away fans.
I thought this was the spin-off where they leave home.
So that was in that Good Neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They walk next door and there's a scene where they do slow motion when they're having the frat party, the frat dance party. Yeah.
Seth Rogen, a lot of shirt because he's got a funny kind of schlubby body, you know.
And who's his other mate, the other chubby guy who's gone on to be quite successful?
Jason Segel? Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
He's in every single Jonah Hill movie has got that scene.
It's got that scene.
Yeah.
And I think the thing where I didn't watch the movie, but my flatmates were watching that movie about the two girls in high school that I think Seth Rogen wrote and Judd Apatow wrote.
Oh, yeah. It came out recently.
Book Smart.
Oh, right. Okay, I haven't seen
And
that
all
one.
I could hear was that blaring hip hop music. Oh, yeah. And I could just see in my head there's a slow motion of two daggy white chicks walking into a room, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same joke over and over again. Yeah. You got to overextend yourself.
Did you end up sending...
None of those.
No.
Something that vaguely resembled that?
I think it was too hate-filled.
Oh, yeah. His Capra's taken down Big Apatow.
Yeah, yeah. Why hasn't
Judd Apatow made a film for 5 years? Well.
Oh, damn it. A 37-year-old comedian who's got long wife, long life under his belt has criticised. So, that's what I thought of. I'm trying not to be so negative. I find it's a big thing on Twitter, like, dude, this thing sucks. You kind of want to be a bit original.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty much Twitter.
You know.
I know. But who cares, really? Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just our own self-worth we put into these fucking things.
I get – the one that annoys me is when people get shitty at a tweet of yours or get, you know, start trolling it and they don't follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, well, And then there's no point.
I know. I got called there.
It's like going to a restaurant you don't eat at and complaining about the food. Fuck off.
Actually, yeah. I actually got called a snowflake legitimately. Like someone that doesn't follow me commented that I was a snowflake and I was like, fuck yes. This is amazing, right? Because I think I'm probably the furthest from that, you know? And then for someone to be like, oh, this guy's a snowflake, it kind of felt good, you know? just to be accused of something so stupid. Yeah.
It's good for someone to be so wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It feels good.
Should we get into the hex?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Yeah. So, Limo, Capra and I roll the dice, and we might send something out on the socials, but it could be any of these six things. And then we have a few pre-planned for you. Like I said, whatever. Do it if you want. Don't. All right. So, I'll roll the dice first.
Ooh, what are
Four.
We got?
Freestyle rap.
Freestyle rap.
We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
He gives me a fuck topic and he beatboxes badly and then I have to freestyle rap.
I love it.
For 30 seconds. So you're not only witness to one of the best moments in podcast history, but just art.
I feel like I'm on the set of 9 Mile.
That's the sequel to 8 Mile.
9 Mile.
I'm just fucking cut a hole through my credibility, haven't I?
Yeah.
What's that? What's that film?
That's the that's the Melbourne version. Yeah. The streets are longer here.
9 Mile.
What topic do you have for me, Kev?
I'll just have a look. I can't remember last time I wrote a freestyle rap. It doesn't come up that much. You know what I mean?
I mean, we've been doing a lot of random hacks, but the rap hasn't come up. But usually it's like embarrassing topics or just opinion.
Have you ever had anyone? Have you ever been out in public and had someone come up to you? Hey, I've written a rap, and then give it to you one on one, directly into your face.
Like you can use this somehow? Or?
No, they just want you to hear what they've written.
Fuck. I think the closest is in the States, you'll get handed mixtapes
by
aspiring rappers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll just want you to either pay for it or listen to it right in front of them somehow, you know, like they'll have it. And that's the closest too. Has this happened to you?
Well, a friend of mine at the, this was at the Rhino Room during the Adelaide Fringe, a good friend of mine who you both know was there, but I won't name him. Someone comes up to him and goes, oh, mate, how are you? And they chat about, what have you been up to? He goes, oh, I've just been doing a lot of rapping, blah, blah, blah lately. In fact, I wrote a piece today. And then just launches into it to him at a bar.
Fuck off.
Anyway, my mate's like, this is just so amazing that he called someone else over. He says, now it's so good. Here, tell him now. So he does it again. Someone else said it was the worst.
Oh, yeah. You're just caught in this tractor beam of freestyling bullshit. Or no, it's probably pre-written rap, like you said.
I was pre-written,
Oh, God. Well, this is even worse because it's freestyle and I have to come up with it on the spot. Did you?
All
right, what do you got?
Coronavirus has been great for weeding out the pussies.
Okay.
This is going to go viral.
I've got a good feeling. Yeah.
All right. As soon as you start beatboxing. Yeah. Corona. Give me a boner. Kills the old and the fat. I can get down with that. Only people with an underlying issue, like guys that sell the big issue. Oh, holy shit. This feels wrong. But COVID-19 might kill your mom. But I hope she's healthy and not in a home. Wash your hands and stay at home. All right, fuck off. That's all you get.
My favorite bit was how you started. Yeah.
Where am I snare at?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, that's one of the best
in a while. Dark.
That feels dirty. Oh.
Man, I came up with that one on the fly.
Oh, God. If someone one day just takes sound bites from the episodes of these raps and they're just like, oh, Mike G was rapping about legit thinks this.
Yeah, the cancellation is coming soon. It's definitely.
We're too small to cancel. That's fine. Yeah. All right, Capper, roll the dice. Let's see what you got to do this week. Oh, three. What is three? This
Facebook
is a
comment.
Facebook comment on a. You get this a lot. I think you've had this majority of the most recent episodes.
I just got it last episode. Right. But I don't think I've had it. Yeah. So.
Well, so this is what you did with your old Flight Center boss last time.
Yeah. So. So I guess I go through some with L for limo. So let's
you can
go.
Do that. And then someone that doesn't preferably would know we're doing this stupid podcast, right. or someone an acquaintance is usually the best, you know, because they'll respond earnestly. Yeah. Anyone under L in your phone, Cap?
Yeah, there's someone. Oh, no. Sorry, I don't know.
Or we could. I'll get you to do this, okay. Actually. Go to, there's a health and wellness page on Facebook called Everyday Health. And you can, anyone can comment on this page or post on this page. You don't have to join.
Oh, no.
All right. So Everyday Health.
Far out. Okay.
And then, so just go, do you have them up?
Everyday Health, 1.4 million. Well, yes.
So this is a Facebook page?
Yeah.
Everyday Health.
1.4 million, and you can post this on their page. You're going to say, "Hi, I suffer from TPS, in brackets, thin penis syndrome. I've been told I could change my diet to add more girth down there. Any advice?"
This is bending the rules of a Facebook comment, but I like it so
I'm
much.
Pretty sure
that
it's a comment on Facebook. It bleeds into the socials, hackery.
It's still a comment.
Yeah.
I comment on one of their posts?
No, well, you can go to, if you go to like community or posts, once you pull them up, you can just post on their thing. And actually, I think it's better to comment on one of their posts because then the post is up and the administrator can't just shoot it down.
Okay, yeah.
So just whatever one of their most recent posts were. So I sent that to you. So just
stress can shrink your brain.
Yeah.
Study says.
Perfect.
Five comments. Yeah. All right, I'm going to throw it up.
Just post that straight in there. Hi, I suffer from TPS, thin penis syndrome.
The other comments on this article is from last year. My brain must be the size of a pea by now. Someone saying, mine should be very small then. Oh, man, that is brutal.
Comments there?
No one's comment yet, but yeah, there's three or four comments.
Yeah.
Someone just wrote no.
No.
But yeah, that's up.
Yours is up. Yep. Screenshot that before anyone on their page gets a chance to take it down.
Yeah.
And then hopefully you get some kind of traction. Because all those people who commented will also get a notification and then they'll go, what the fuck?
All right, yeah.
Man, do you think that, I mean, we're just a drop in the ocean. Do you think that there are people at Facebook that are just watching going,
oh, I think
this guy's got some serious problems.
All the shit we've done?
Yeah, all the shit we've done, yeah.
There's a red flag popping up. You know, haven't they got a warehouse in Ohio or something where everyone works to monitor?
Yeah, Capper and I, there's a server dedicated just to us.
your pictures are up on a wall.
Next to the tall Asian map.
Have you ever Googled thin penis syndrome?
Oh, no. If I did, I deleted it so it would come up.
He's definitely Googled short penis.
It's short, but it's girthy. It's fucking
long and thin or short and fat.
His dick looks like his shit.
It is. Small penis syndrome.
Oh, see, there you go.
It's a thing.
I like thin.
I know, that's small.
Yeah.
No, I Googled thin and it comes up with small.
Noodle boy.
Thin penis. 23 ways to have sex.
Bookmark that.
There you go.
There you go. Now I got home, my wife. Like, where have you been?
I didn't know it was that thin. I didn't know it was a problem. I knew it was thin, but.
I knew I had an issue with it. I didn't realize.
Pre-prepared hacks for you. Danny McGinley, we'll just float up to you, see what you think.
Sure.
McGinley suggested, because Alan Jones recently announced his retirement from 2GB, right?
Yes.
And so McGinley thought it would be funny for you to post that you're taking the breakfast position at 2GB, which, like, people already know it went to some other dude. I forget his name.
Yeah, it's
Rutherford or something.
Yeah, who works at
He's the drive shift guy.
They had the drive shift. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It would just be a weird pose, first of all, because...
Yeah, it would be weird. Yeah. And I know him as well.
Yeah. You know Jones.
No, not Jones.
The guy taking the
guy taking the job. And I've just had a fucking mental blank. What's his goddamn name?
The guy taking the actual spot. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, so that one, I don't know, either an announcement.
That might, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah,
it's a career thing as well. Yeah, it's a bit like...
It's so strange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You might get a few calls from management there.
Ben Fordham.
Ben Fordham, yeah. So he's moving from drive to breakfast. Yes. Yeah. So it would just be an odd kind of like, is limo cracked? Like, everyone knows this other dude's doing the job.
It might sound like a cry for help.
Yeah.
Like, well, someone's getting a bit too desperate to get a radio job back.
He's trying to wish it into existence, the secret style.
Is he quite old, the fella filling in for Alan Jones?
No. Yeah. He'd be younger than me. He's like maybe 40 or something.
That'd be cool 40, if you...
40, 45 maybe.
If you went on some kind of young guy rant, like what are these young guys?
Too many young people in radio.
That's bullshit.
AJ spots, you know.
So hard being a white middle class man these days.
Capper, you want to float one and then I'll give you another McGinley idea?
Yeah, I thought maybe you could, I don't know, you probably know him, tweet at Ben Stratton going, just the weirdest tweet ever. Yo, brah, if you ever want to kick the footy around, let me know. X.
Are you on a personal level with that guy?
Like, I know Strats pretty well. He lives just around the corner from me.
All right. So it would be weird to publicly.
And then the kiss at the end.
It'd be strange. That'd be strange. He came on our podcast, the other podcast I do that Mason Cox was on.
Oh, right. What's it called?
Recently. It's called The Monday Wrap.
Monday Wrap.
Where we make up AFL stories.
Right. Oh, man.
Pretending the season is still going. That might be.
That might be weird. Too weird.
A couple more options. And
Give us a couple more options.
McGinley told me that your wife is a animal rights activist.
Yes.
So I have a picture here, the logo and motto for Duck Hunting Australia. And you would
There is.
No way.
No chance.
Are you going with this?
What's the Alan Jones one again?
There'd be like there's some flare would go up and I'd get home, the locks would be changed already. I get home.
So it was going to be super happy to announce I'm the new ambassador for Duck Hunting Australia. A great sport, and what better way to social distance than with a gun?
Oh man, that's funny. I'm also an ambassador for Animals Australia.
So are you? Probably, conflict of interest.
Probably wouldn't align with their brand values.
Well, that's
I got one little one. This one's hilarious, but it's pretty. It's kind of embarrassing because our good mate, good comic, Tim Hewitt. He started a footy show on ABC, like a character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, where he's in isolation and he's...
Right,
you know
okay,
what I mean?
Yeah.
A character, a guy's down and he's like, you know, called Big Huey's Footy.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe you'd send him a message going, hey, mate, I saw your footy show thing and it looks great, so funny. Got a bit of spare time at the moment, so let me know if you need another character.
I think you work into that something like footy comedy is usually my turf, but I'm happy to do a character.
All right, let's do it. Let's
that
do it.
One?
No, let's do it.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So what do
you want? You want me to DM him?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know Hugh. You know
Hugh.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. Thanks for doing this. This is going to be hilarious. He might see it coming, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Either he... I mean, well,
okay,
a few things.
Tim Hewitt, here we go. Yeah. All right. So what do you want me to write?
Hey, mate, saw your footy show thing and it looks great.
So where's he? Is he doing it on the – is it on the ABC website?
It's at the stay-at-home – that stay-at-home TV show where they got comedians do sketches in isolation.
Oh, is this the thing with Ray Martin?
Yeah.
Right, okay, I saw a bit of that last week.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was some good gear on there, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, real good. It's got heaps of good comments.
So, hey, mate.
Hey, mate.
I saw your
footy show thing and it looks great, so funny, or something like that.
Yeah. Usually footy comedy is my turf or my area.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks great. So funny.
Usually footy comedy is my turf, but happy to do a character if you want to write me.
Usually comedy. I mean, what a crap. Usually footy comedy is my turf.
Yeah.
Usually footy comedy is my turf, but...
Happy to do a character if you want to write me in.
Happy to a character if you want to write me in.
Oh, yeah. Huey, yeah, I'd be interested. Either he'll know
yeah,
or I don't know.
How do I finish with an emoji or anything? Or
Just hope you're well, it's whatever, you know.
What's a kind of an official bit of a fuck you, not a fuck you, but a bit of a like... Regards, Limo. Limo out.
It's always funny to see.
Cheers and all the best.
Yeah.
Cheers and all the best.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Cheers and all the best.
Oh, man, thanks for doing this. Oh, God.
Cheers and all the
best. This is going to be great.
This is good, though, because nothing goes out to socials and it's just, you know.
Cheers and all the best.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, this is great.
Hey, mate, saw your footy show thing. It looks great. So funny. Usually footy comedy is my turf, but happy to do a character if you want. If you want to write me in, cheers and all the best, Limo. All right, here goes. Send.
Perfect. There thank you.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Oh, that is. Thank you so much. Yeah.
See what comes back.
Yeah. See what he responds.
Now, what do I say if he comes back to me?
You can either.
Hey, great to hear from you. Yeah. I've got the perfect character for next week.
You can either draw it out or just go.
Man, it'd be
just,
so funny.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, you know, you've been on TV a lot and stuff, but you're just an extra in this middling comedian's ABC show.
I love it. It's good gear.
Yeah, thanks cool. so much for coming on, mate.
Hey, yeah. Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You have the podcast with McGinley.
Yeah, yep. Which is called They Came to Play. And then I've got one with Scott Dooley called The Monday Wrap.
All right.
Oh, they're both sports. Monday Wrap's AFL. They Came to Play is all sports.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be a good combo. Scott Dooley's so funny on podcasts.
Dooley's is
so
great, good. Man. He's really good. Yeah. He's really good. So he's in New York. I'm here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just talk shit on the internet.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a dream. I'm moving to New York soon, you know?
Yeah. Going to pursue heavy metal boobies over there.
What was the fart one?
Gigantic fart.
Gigantic farts.
Yeah, but thanks so much for listening, guys. Join the Patreon.
Yeah, the Patreon. Get on that. We're trying to do 4 bonus episodes a month, so heaps of extra content on there. And we've been churning out some quality shit lately.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Literally. That won't go away.
Your toilet for 36 hours.
Capper, you still have your stand-up special going.
NickCapper.com.
Yep.
And yeah, that's it.
That's it.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Dame.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Hacks.